It's Mike Shope.
This guy's a real jerk.
And the Bulldog.
I'm sort of anal retentive, OCD kind of whack job.
On WGR.
Good afternoon, y'all. I am the Bulldog. Nate Geary is here. We'll be here momentarily. We have a lot of important work to do today. It's a very serious situation we have on our hands, and this is only just now crossed my desk moments ago. On the off chance that somebody thinks I'm really being serious about something, don't sweat it. Nothing bad has happened to anyone. But I want Nate. See, Nate had to stay. He took a work call. He has a job, you know, just jerking around when he comes in and hangs out with me and anyone else, really. Anyway, so, but I need him. I don't want to have to go through this all twice. We are going to, I apologize for the jilted, uneven start to the show. Like, I was all ready with this thing, and then he left the room. And it's how it goes. I wasn't ready. Reverse AFC Power Rankings are on the way. It is Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We got the sheet. We're ready to go. The last time we did this with Nate, it was highly controversial, I think is the way you want to put it, right? So we'll see if we can keep the train on the tracks a little bit more effectively with him today, doing this for the second time in, I don't know, it was like sometime in July, the last time we did this together, maybe June, or I don't even know. The sheets are, they're across the room. I can't. All right. Anyway, so we're going to get into that here in a second. We have Matt Bove from Channel 7 and the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our buddy Sal Capaccio coming on at 4 o'clock. Be a lot of football. Plan to take the opportunity to, you know, once we get done with Reverse AFC Power Rankings, talk a lot about the AFC East and the conference in general and where the Bills sort of, you know, fit in to the hierarchy, the upper echelon, if you will, of the conference. So we'll do some of that today as well. Do you ever have, I'm going to hold off on this other thing for one sec. Do you ever experience it doesn't have to be in a sports context, but in this case it is, where like an idea comes your way and you and your friends, you and the people you talk about sports with online or whatever, that sounds like a really good idea. I wish my team would do that. I think they should do that. And the player that's about, whether it's a trade or free agent idea, in this case it's a trade, it just goes on. Like, it's like a month goes by, like nothing happens. You get conflicting reports. Oh, the team's not really interested in trading this player. They value him, and they're in a Super Bowl window, and blah, 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 right? And then, you know, another couple days go by. The player does something on social media that reignites the whole conversation. And if you're, a jackass like me doing a radio show in Buffalo, New York, you come in and you're like, oh, there's news about Brandon Ayuk again today. I guess it's time to roll the balls out for the Brandon Ayuk conversation. And you do that in March, and then you do that in April, and then you do that in June, and you do it in July, even, let's say. And then yesterday comes, and at about 4:30, there's, it's happening. He's really getting traded. Wow. All right. Well, here we go. Time to have the conversation again. And then the day ends, and nothing still happens. And now here we are today, the day that maybe of all the days that have passed by here, the many months that have gone by, today perhaps is the most realistic and possible day that he will actually be traded. And I can't imagine having a conversation about it again, because I'm gonna want to just end it. I'm so sick of Brandon Ayuk, and he's still the same dude. He's excellent. You should want him on your football team, but you get fatigued by the speculation and the conversation. This happened with Odell Beckham Jr., I think, over the months that Von Miller was campaigning for him. That went into it. That went into like December of the following season. Oh, no, he's still out there. Maybe he'll visit. Then DeAndre Hopkins posted a video with like a Buffalo soldier as the soundtrack. Oh, hey, DeAndre Hopkins. This Ayuk stuff has just been maddening. It's still a great idea, I think, but I just can't imagine wanting to listen to two people on the radio talk about it anymore. That's how I feel about it right now. Nate, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, it went from, you know, certainty that he'll be in Pittsburgh. I think that's where the player wants to go. But now the framework's in place with Cleveland or New England or...
And yeah, we got a hand.
We do have a
reason.
Bit of an update, not an actual trade, but Schefter about 4 minutes ago now. Talks have re-engaged between the Steelers and the 49ers. So not really any kind of an update, but the Steelers are somewhat
back. Please let that happen.
So here's... I don't really mean that I'm tired of talking about a thing because I just thought of a new thing to say.
And here we are. We're going to keep talking.
The thing yesterday, you know what the thing yesterday? You just tripped the wire for me. The player wants to go to Pittsburgh. So the agent, like, sort of spoon-fed this reporter, like, it's at the goal line. We're just about done. It's going to happen. We're going to Pittsburgh. And, okay, I got it. And that's the trying to, like, nudge the thing across the finish line is what's happening, I think. So, I don't know. We are, I'm just going to say, contractually obligated to perform, he meant to say three times, reverse AFC power rankings during this segment. So we cannot wait for Brandon Ayuk to be traded to either the Browns, the Steelers, or the Patriots before we rank the teams. The thing that I wanted to mention to start here, because it's the kind of thing that once I scroll away from it on my social media feed, I will forget about it and we'll do like 10 other things today that hopefully will be also awesome. And I wouldn't ever get a chance to talk to you about this video I'm watching currently of a new feature at our favorite football team's home games this year. Has anyone seen the Arizona Cardinals Twitter feed today? At X.com, excuse me.
No.
Sadly, yes.
Are they...
How do you feel, Nate and Zach? I mean, feel, you know, both of you feel free here to participate. How do you feel about cotton candy? Do you like cotton candy?
No.
You're not nine, so no.
Yeah, no, I'm out on it, yeah.
Yeah, but have you ever had a cotton candy? Did you remember liking cotton candy? I don't ever remember liking cotton candy. I remember having to get it for my kids and hating it because it just got everywhere and it was just a huge mess.
And disgusting.
I was like psycho dad in cargo shorts with wipes in every pocket and I still just couldn't keep up. So I was not a fan. But, you know, I understand the appeal. It's you know, sugar. Like just, you know, pure sugar. How do you feel about the cereal Fruit Loops? Do you have a strong yay or nay on Fruit Loops? Again, you're not nine.
I hate Fruit Loops.
You hate Fruit Loops.
And Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Hate. Worst thing possible. Yes, I hate them.
I used to think I loved Fruity Pebbles, but we had some in the house about 6 months ago, and I was like, this ain't all that anymore. I don't know what happened. Maybe because, well, I'm not nine.
I'm worried now to have them again. I haven't had them in years, but now the way you two are talking about it, I'm a little nervous.
It did not make me happy when I was excited. Like, oh, Fruity Pebbles. I haven't had Fruity Pebbles in years.
I'm trying to hold on to childhood as long as I can.
These two items, Nate and Zach, I think Zach already knows about this, are being presented among 50 new food offerings at Arizona Cardinals home games this year. As a burrito, they are rolling up Fruit Loops in cotton candy and presenting it as a cotton candy burrito. That is happening.
I used to...
In America.
I used to roll up fruit by the foot. Or no. Fruit roll-ups with Gushers.
All right.
Roll that up.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
But...
And you were nine. 15?
That carries you
20,
into your college
25.
Years.
This morning.
Right. I did have Gushers last week. So.
Yeah, you did. There you go. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a Gusher.
Missing out.
You got to change that. Yeah we got to change that. You may not like them, but you
I
have
wish
to
we would have had this
have
conversation
one.
Yesterday because I would have brought some in.
Yep.
Yeah. Is this going to be a hit? Cotton candy burrito.
How much are they charging for that?
It's
is it a $9 burrito?
It's going to be in a football game, so $27.99 probably. It's big. It's like the size. It looks like basically your Lloyd joint.
That's disgusting.
All right, but just or maybe even, I don't know, 1.5 times. It's big. It's large. It fills the plate it's on, and the person rolling it, unless they have really tiny hands, it looks like a large object, this cotton candy burrito. And they have it like posed here. There's a video I'm watching of the worker rolling it up, and then they have it presented off on the side on a plate cut in half with the Fruit Loops sort of spilling out of it. Just looks like the worst thing you could
so
ever
many parents try this year are gonna have to make business decisions.
Can you imagine having a child that wants this thing and like, oh yeah, let's just wash it down with some Mountain Dew while we're at it, and we'll just go right to the ER from the game. Like, let's just not even skip all the other steps. Holy cow. Well, we are not ranking NFC teams today, nor their concession offerings, but this will be filed away. One of the big reasons that I'm even mentioning it is so that I remember to save it, because I'm arming up for opening day. I got to get some Arizona Cardinal hate going, which isn't hard, but I think having a...
It's not? What do you hate about the Cardinals?
Everything.
Really?
I don't think anybody that plays there wants to be there. I think the owner is a pig. I just say they're gross. And the Cardinals are gross.
Really? I mean, that's very strong feelings. I know that, like, they charge players for, like, lunch.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I know, like, they do that yearly thing where they rank the organizations,
they do tend to get destroyed.
They're right there with Kansas City.
Yeah. But, which is weird, right? No, actually, Nate, the whole thing about the Cardinals is a bit, because someone called us like 4 years, 3 years. Were you here?
I was not. I think I just missed it.
Okay. So how before Zach started as our producer, a guy out of the blue one afternoon called us to complain about how negative we always are about the Arizona Cardinals. And it was one of those calls where you're just really struggling
to figure out, like, at what point you even mentioned them on the radio.
What machinations took place here that led to this moment in time where this person who loves the Arizona Cardinals feels compelled to call us to accuse us of a crime against his football team that we clearly don't care enough about to even think of committing. Which, like, hating them. So now it just, hate. We hate the Cardinals. The show hates the Cardinals. And they're the Bills' week one opponent. So I have to sort of get ready to, like, just attack all the coaches and teams that the Bills play. It's a new feature of the show. Value added.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good value add.
Yeah.
It is a good value
add. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think a burrito made of cotton candy stuff with Fruit Loops is a good value, but again, I'm not nine. So anyway, are you ready to rank some football teams?
Oh, I thought about it since I've woken up this morning.
It is time now for reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Here we go! Everybody's in pads. There's preseason games this weekend. It gets real now, Nate.
Pulse has risen, really. Just so we're clear. Pulse has risen.
Not really. Your posture right now is just killing me. Just sitting back in the chair.
Well, listen, like I said, I've been thinking about this.
When is Bulldog going to stop talking about this cotton candy burrito?
I'm sure it will be an all afternoon thing.
Yeah. 16.
Start us off. I think we all know.
I'm gonna turn back to the Raiders.
Okay.
I haven't decided anything. This is merely one suggestion. I've got two of you to deal with here.
Maybe this was the team we fought about last time. I'm not getting there on the Raiders in last.
First, last.
Top. Bottom.
No, it's top. It's
top
reverse.
Top of the bottom.
We've gone so far in 16
Mike?
Minutes. Patriots. Right?
You're not getting that. Yeah, it's been the Patriots last couple weeks. You don't think the Raiders deserve to be below the or above? You don't believe the Raiders deserve to be 16th?
I don't.
I kind of like the Patriots here.
Yeah.
Drake May hasn't looked good in camp yet. I mean, they're not going to win much this year, but that's kind of your
whole hope there. Their schedule is hard.
I want so badly. I know, preseason pledge, right? Nothing matters. I want so badly to believe the three or four different reports I've seen aside. Sidebar, our tweets, reports, the three or four tweets I've seen.
X's.
Stating that Joe Milton actually looks better in practice than Drake May. Like, I want that to be true so bad.
I got so mad about that this weekend.
So great if that actually were true.
I knew NFL people were going to try to make Joe Milton a thing. Yeah. He's not a thing. Oh, man.
All right, so Patriots. New England 16. He can't be a thing?
They tried making him a thing in college. It was a disaster. Yeah, he was in there good. For 6 years. He has a bazooka of an arm. That's about it.
Not good. It's like the guy that can drive the ball really far, but can't putt, can't chip. It's got nothing else. But he can drive the ball for show.
Joe Milton for 6 years.
Yep.
15.
Denver. Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Bo Nix at number 3.
It is depth chart season is what it is. And
I've been waiting for this for weeks.
Sean Payton's quote today about how much Bo Nix reminds him of future Hall of Famer Drew Brees?
No, but let me guess. Listen, I know what it looks like. I've been around some ones.
Yep.
And this kid, even when he's walking out of the huddle,
yep.
I'm telling you, he's the first one in, he's the last one out. Yep.
Grinds film.
Yep.
The fact that his arm is not really NFL to standards. That's not why he reminds me of Drew Brees.
No,
or that he can't see over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Someone out there I saw today has two quarterbacks listed at number two quarterback. Like one of them's, it's got to be one of the kids, but it wouldn't be J.J. McCarthy. That wouldn't make sense. Darnold, I saw, is number one. Somewhere out there, there's a team that has like a tie for number two. They didn't want to make someone number three. Good times. All right. Did we say a team yet? Denver. You said Denver. I'm all right with Denver. We'll avoid the specter of the grievous error that we made the last time Nate was in for this when Denver made it all the way to ninth, by the way. That happened. 14.
I think now we can go Las Vegas.
I'm prepared. What would be the other option? Is the AFC West going to feature three of the worst four teams in the AFC?
100%.
Yes.
Good for the Chiefs, man. You know,
and
they
other options in this neighborhood have been Tennessee, the Chargers. So, yeah, there's your answer. Yeah,
they have backed their way into having a division eerily similar to the early 2000s AFC East. With just three have no idea what they're doing teams and the Patriots. I mean, that's the Chiefs. Like, yep. Even they partially don't really know what they're doing at times, and they're fine.
Right. They've won back-to-back Super Bowls, but they sometimes still don't know what they're doing. Let's cling to that hope.
I cling to that for months on end.
So Vegas, we're going 14, Vegas? We're good with that?
Yep.
Okay, great. 13 Chargers. Should we just make it a clean sweep here of the AFC West teams that aren't the two-time defending Super Bowl
Will
champs?
Levis had a really nice throw over the weekend.
Keep sleeping, guys. Keep sleeping on Will Levis at your own peril.
Is this real?
Keep sleeping on him.
Is this real?
Yeah, it's real. It's not a bit.
Okay.
I like Will Levis a lot.
Okay.
I liked him when they drafted him, and I think that they're going to compete for that division.
I like this.
Especially without, you know how much better they looked without Derrick Henry on the field?
Oh, yeah. Spears is nice.
Yeah. And they got Tony Pollard now.
Yeah.
Kelvin Ridley. Tyler Boyd. DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, Hopkins is already hurt.
4-6, yeah.
It's a nice little, they got names. And a quarterback who is the Walmart version of Josh Allen. So, dollar store, whatever you want to call them. Yes. Yes to the no. I am not. I will stand my ground that this can't be Tennessee over L.A. No way. Chargers over or under. However you want to put, Chargers are next.
A lot of passion there.
I appreciate you getting to almost a full boil there, just over.
You did earlier. I mean, I got to match the energy.
I know. Well, yeah.
You're going to be barely alive over here?
It was a compliment. I wasn't needling you by any stretch. It's already 22 minutes after. This is what happens when I talk about cotton candy for 10 minutes.
No doubt about that.
Okay, so number 12, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
All right, sure. Well,
For the sake of time, I will not rebuttal. That's right. Next segment.
I will piss and moan next segment.
I walked you right into talking about how much you love them.
Just like, for them to go on the very next one. Yep.
Knowing where
what
we're
are we at, 12, 11?
We're at 11 now. Tennessee is 12. Okay, 11. Pittsburgh has had a lockdown on this spot, and I fight it every time.
The Schefter tweet, it's got me going. They're getting in single digits.
All right.
I do think they're going to get Ayuk, though.
Yeah, they are.
They are a different team when they have him and Pickens and Freiermuth.
And the national media is going to have to answer for this controversy that they've created on not allowing some guy with a dog as his picture on Twitter to out-scoop them and come up with this elaborate scheme how it's not really a done deal and it's not a done deal. They are going to have to answer for their sins, and I will be the bellboy to do it.
Okay, so is 11 going to be Jacksonville then?
Sure is.
Yep. Right.
They stink.
I think that is closer to true than not.
They stink, and I think that Doug Peterson is Doug Marrone with better PR.
That is awesome.
I think this all sounds perfectly legitimate.
If he had Nathaniel Hackett, he'd be just as bad.
I think realistically, Doug Peterson in 10 years is just the new Mike McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl, and everyone questions how.
So Jacksonville, 11, 10.
We're missing someone again.
Indianapolis. I want to believe in Anthony Richardson. I need to see it first. I need to see it.
I have felt like two very weekly occurrences are. I think Pittsburgh it goes too soon, and Indy is too high. Mm. So I'm here for this. Although, I think I want to say Cleveland first.
I agree with that. I think Cleveland is. They might have the most talented roster in the league. Yeah, well, their quarterback stinks. He's got no arm left.
I did finally though see a Deshaun Watson highlight from Cleveland propaganda to Jerry Jeudy.
It's been four seasons since he was any good.
Oh, wow, it has been that long.
Yes.
Wow.
This is season number three in Cleveland. Last year was a washout. The first year was a suspension. He sat out the year before that in Houston all season. I mean,
my favorite quote last week.
My kids weren't born when he was good last.
My favorite quote last week was that he might have let some of the distractions get to him last year. What kind of distractions were those?
No, did he
real interesting.
Did he run into gambling trouble? Anyway, okay, Cleveland 10. All right, let's
do it right. Let's do it right.
Indy.
Yep.
9. We are going to get this done in the next 2 minutes. I assure you. We're already late, but anyway. Okay, Indy 9. 8.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. 7.
Jets.
Yes.
Damn, we should have went Jets sooner.
Yeah, it's okay. 6.
Dolphins.
Okay. I'm with you on that. Uh-oh, my pen just... No, okay. I'm okay. 5.
Bengals.
Ravens.
No.
I hate their vibes. Derrick Henry was their big addition.
I like that, actually. You're right, because I was just talking trash on Derrick Henry about Tennessee looking better without him. He was their big offseason addition. They just signed Russell Gage. You know that's not going as well as they thought at the wide receiver position.
Rashad Bateman's hurt again.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Ravens. That's a big fall for the Ravens, by the way.
It is.
Ravens.
You guys are both going to, well, you won't be here. But
I took advantage of Mike not being here. I wanted the Ravens gone for a while.
You're going to have to own that next week when we get back to this. So Cincinnati 4?
Yes. The Keon Coleman train has officially brought us past the Ravens and the Bengals. Bills 3. It's got to be Bills 3.
Bills 3? All right. Yeah. See, I've also been... Well, we'll talk more about all these things.
So and then obviously 2-1 is
Houston 2, KC's 1. I'm We'll take a break. I'm not in as much of a hurry as it seems almost everyone else is to just assume the Texans are
the best
at this, yeah, this incredible level.
Sure.
So we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the division, the Jets, the Dolphins, the AFC in general, and where the Bills, well, they're third this week in reverse AFC. They were third last week, too. Baltimore is the big change this week. How do we do? We'll post it on Twitter or X.com or Instagram or Facebook or MySpace or I don't even know what exists anymore. And we'll talk all about it with you. 803-0550 is the number. Matt Bove from Channel 7 and the It's Always Game Day podcast with our buddy Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Nate Geary's in for Mike along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog and this is WGR.
My understanding is the Pittsburgh Steelers have had discussions with the 49ers about potentially trading Brandon Ayuk. They are for sure in it right now. They are one of several teams that the 49ers are speaking with. The Cleveland Browns are one of those teams. The New England Patriots are one of those teams. And there are a couple different parts to this trade. There is, can the 49ers agree to terms on a deal with either of these teams? I would say they're certainly further along with the Browns and Patriots than they are the Steelers, but that is another one that at some point those two sides could come together and get a deal in place.
Ian Rappaport from NFL Network talking about a, it seems, pretty aggressively, constantly evolving situation involving receiver Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers, who has been looking for a trade to a team that will give him a $28 to $30 million a year contract for the next 4 years, something it seems the San Francisco 49ers are not in a position to do. And it's been dragging and dragging and dragging and dragging, and it seems like it's coming to a head. Credit to the player for staying dug in. You know, guys sometimes sort of give in, like, I'll just start, you know, whatever. I got a house here. It's fine. You know, I can hit, I can get my money next year. And Ayuk's just going, nope.
Not happening.
Everybody's getting paid. I want, where's mine? And let's go. So, what do we know? You said it earlier, Nate, during the first segment. I think that's right. I think the player really wants to go to Pittsburgh. I'm not sure why, if he has a crush on Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or it's Mike Tomlin or regional. I don't know what the attraction is, but that seems right to me. And so they're willing to pay him. He wants to go there, but they are balking at the asking price from the 49ers. It seems like maybe Cleveland and the Patriots, some of what I've read this morning and this afternoon, indicate that those two teams, New England and Cleveland, are close to, if not at the point of satisfying San Francisco's ask in a return on the trade, but Ayuk doesn't want to sign a contract extension to go play with New England or Cleveland right now, so they can't get on the same page there. What I'm wondering is, like, with the longer this goes on,
Does the leverage go? I don't know.
And how many more teams do more teams get, like, hey, they can't get it across the finish line? You know, maybe we should call, or maybe everyone has already exhausted it because they don't want to pay the price.
And let me walk through this really quick for you. Kyle Shanahan says Christian McCaffrey is dealing with a calf strain. He's not likely to play at all in the preseason. Elijah Mitchell, their backup running back, is dealing with a hamstring injury, not likely to play in the preseason. Ricky Pearsall re-aggravated a shoulder injury sustained earlier, was pulled halfway through the practice. So at what point do the 49ers, like, he'll play for the Niners if he doesn't get traded. I mean, he has to. There's not really a world where guys can hold out anymore. And is he like on a soft, is he in a hold in right now?
Yeah, he's there and he's just not practicing. He's just not working.
So, yeah. I wish that was something we could do. just in life. Like, you know what? Until you pay me $10 more an hour, I'm just going to sit here at my desk. And
so, what you mentioned during the break, something I haven't seen it. Some idea of what the 49ers may be looking for from Pittsburgh, which seemed insane to me, but I don't know how to parse it. Like you said something about a number one, Pickens and Freiermuth mentioned.
Like a mixture of like maybe two of those things, which is just absurd.
Like a real, real lot.
Like you get a first round pick for him, I think you did really well.
Yeah.
You're asking for a first and a number one receiver for a guy that you now have to You've earned the right now to pay $30-plus million to. And if you're the Steelers, if you're Cleveland, the only team this makes sense for is New England, but they're probably going to have a top three, top four pick. Why would they move that? And also...
Kendrick Bourne.
Sure.
It seems like San Francisco wants a receiver in place. Like, that's
I don't know how they
everywhere.
Can get that. Right. I don't know how they can expect to get both and also have... Because here's the thing. If they don't move him now, they're going to be in a position next year with Brock Purdy's extension on right there. Mm-hmm. Another year of Christian McCaffrey, who's going to be 30. Deebo Samuel, who's in his 30s. George Kittle, who's in his 30s. You're paying Nick Bosa the most a defender has ever been paid. That lasted like 5 minutes. But I guess where I'm going with this is you got to...
They're pretty top heavy.
You got to do something. And I don't think that they're going to be in a position where they can tag him next year.
Well, that's why I've thought, for all the tough talk from San Francisco about we don't want to do this, we're in a Super Bowl window.
All right.
It's like, okay, but he's going to leave for nothing next year.
If he's on a tag,
is that what you want?
You are not going to get what you could get for him right now.
I don't even think that they will have the financial flexibility to tag him.
I don't know that they will either.
So that it's been a part of the issue though the entire time. Boy, the talk of them wanting a number one receiver.
Oh, by the way, Trent Williams, their 36-year-old tackle, is also holding in
right.
and wants to be paid more too.
I shouldn't say they want a number one receiver in place. They want a receiver. Bourne is not a number one receiver. Pickens is. That just seems nuts to me. Like, why, if you're Pittsburgh, other than the fact that the guy wants to play for you, why would you trade either of those players that are pass catchers to add a pass catcher? Isn't the idea to add a pass catcher and not subtract one of your better pass? Like, you're trying to make your team better, I think, at this time. I was thinking about this from a Bills perspective this morning when I saw, you know, I think it was Sneaky Joe commented to our buddy Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh, you know, about how Cleveland's got Bourne. There's been talk about Amari Cooper from Cleveland. Did I say Cleveland twice? New England's got Bourne. Cleveland's got Cooper. Like, they can include them in the trade to satisfy that part of the demand. It's probably not smart for Cleveland. They just converted a bunch of salary into bonus and already paid it, and then divesting themselves of Cooper right now.
And then immediately extended Jerry Jeudy without him playing it down for them.
So, but they have a guy that they can send that makes sense. Unless Pittsburgh is already tired of... Do you remember the conversation we had yesterday about this that was brief when I talked to Will Graves a few weeks ago and asked him about Ayuk, and he said Pickens will be a problem. Like, he covers the Steelers. Like, Pickens will be a problem. Maybe the Steelers are just like, I don't need this headache. We're not going to want to pay you the top rate in another year from now, so we would simply trade Pickens for Ayuk, and maybe you see that as a win if you're the Steelers. I don't know. But from a Bills perspective, like, do you have a receiver that you can include in the trade that makes sense? I mean, you really don't. Unless you think Khalil Shakir has enough value to make that work for San Francisco, and I'm not sure that he does. And these two thoughts, the second thought I'm about to share, sort of are smashing into each other in my brain, and I need to alleviate the tension because I'm not sure it makes sense that Shakir probably isn't enough, but I'd be reluctant to trade him because he's going into his third year on a fifth round rookie contract. And I think I need that. I need that value for this year and next year more than I need a new $30 million wide receiver. So I think if the Bills had been out of this because of that, I totally understand. Like, I don't think I would want to part with that player on that contract right now, because not that I think he's going to be as good or better than Brandon Ayuk is right now, but I've got 2 years of a player making $1 million that I think has a look at being, you know, a 70 or 80 catch guy for this team. And I don't think I'd want to dump that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of just kind of goes against exactly what we've been talking about, too. You know, like, it just kind of goes against this divest and reinvest smarter. It's kind mm-hmm. of like, hey, we've been investing in this stock for a really long time, and it just took a giant dump, and now we have to re-diversify our money, are you going to go right back into going into that stock that dumped for you? No, I don't think you are. I think you're going to try to find new ways to reinvest the money, and I think that's what the Bills are going to do with their cap space next year. And like in the same conversation, like I was talking about yesterday about the Dolphins, how they have like nine guys making double-digit $1 million. The Niners have Debo making 24, Tre'Varius Ward making 12, Nick Bosa making 20, Fred Warner making 29 at linebacker. George Kittle at 22, Trent Williams at 34, Javon Hargrave at 28.
These are cap numbers?
Cap hits.
Yeah.
They're screwed. Oh, and they got to pay their quarterback probably $60 million.
Next year.
Wait, what did Tua just get? 62?
No, he didn't get 62. 52? 52, yeah. We're not to 60 yet.
We're not
even to 55 yet. So, you know.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Well, you know me. I like to throw great.
Next offseason,
I like to be talked down from numbers, not, right. You know, I don't like to go below. Right.
So, all right. So all the big guys are in on the Aiyuk stuff after a very quiet day yesterday. Big guys, I mean the reporters. And we'll see what ends up, you know, transpiring here during the day today, whether this player ends up being moved to where he wants to go or where the team would rather he go or whatever. But as I said at the outset, it's starting to wear me out. As someone who is in the content creation business here, I don't know how much more Brandon Aiyuk I have left in me, which is tough because it might be the biggest day of the whole time here, the many months that have been sucked up talking about whether this guy's a good idea to trade for. I still think he is, but I'm not sure the Bills are in a position to satisfy it, and you've not heard anything about them being involved, so I'm not here to like bang the drum. They should get in on it. They got to get their miss. You know, it's not happening. I don't think they have the assets to make it happen. So, you know, full speed ahead with your name here at receiver for the Bills, and we'll see what ends up happening with Aiyuk here. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a preference? Pittsburgh, New England, Cleveland? I'm not really worried about any of those three teams right now.
No. I think the North is not as – I mean, I'm not – I know everyone's – the quarterbacks in the AFC are great. But a lot of them are good and are being paid as great, and – the two that are great are not being paid that much.
Right.
So, like,
right.
The pendulum is going to swing. The Dolphins are going to find it. They're talking about, you know, oh, well, they'll just restructure Tua next year. They're going to restructure him on the first year his extension hits?
It's been done.
It has been, but okay.
It's been done. 803-0550.
I didn't even get to talk trash about the Dolphins yesterday.
We are. Well, stay tuned, everyone.
I'm on retainer.
Okay.
To do that. So.
No, let's get into the AFC East right after this. We'll talk about the Dolphins and the Jets and the division. Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 coming your way at 4 o'clock here. Nate is in for Mike along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR. The man asked for an opportunity to wail on the Dolphins. Far be it from me to get in the way. They're gonna be better than the Jets, right? I've got to bet with Mike who's gonna win more games this year, Dolphins or Jets, and I'm on the Dolphins there because I think the Jets are gonna implode. Because they're the Jets, largely, which, you know, I know it's not really sound logic, but you know, it's there.
Don't
like either of them?
Either team.
See, I think Miami still has. They've got their pitch. They have their offense intact. You know, Tua's got the big money that it really doesn't matter for like playing on the field. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got Waddle. They've got their speedy running back in Achan. Like, I think they'll be good enough to win 10 games or 11 games like they did last year. You know, against the lousier teams on their schedule. And then run out of gas when they have to play anybody that's any good.
Front runners or the team that is just terribly coached? Take your pick.
Terribly coached.
Yeah. Robert Saleh stinks.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Mike McDaniel.
Oh, no. I like McDaniels. Robert Saleh stinks. I was talking about the Dolphins here. Nathaniel Hackett stinks. That They stink.
I'm 100% with you on the Jets. I was teeing you up for the Dolphins here.
Oh, well, I could talk trash about both. I'm good with either. Yeah, no, the Dolphins are top heavy, don't have depth, are relying on two guys coming off catastrophic injuries to come back to form. Took Bradley Chubb 2 years to come back from his last one when he was younger. Chop Robinson looks good. Mm-hmm. Liam Eikenberg, go Irish, stinks. And he's going to be their starting center right now, or guard or whatever. I mean, there was just a picture of him laying on the ground during uppers. Like, they weren't even going full, and he was on the ground during practice against Atlanta. Their offensive line might be the worst in football. A year removed from their quarterback having two catastrophic head injuries. But he did jiu-jitsu, so he's fine, I guess, now. He knows how to fall. He learned how to fall.
He did make it.
Well, he better have learned how to fall, because he's going to do a bunch of that this year.
He did make it through a season.
He
so
did.
Got to give him that.
And they've got really great, fast running backs that will likely need some level of run blocking to be successful. What else? They brought in Jordan Brooks. I think that's his name, the linebacker from Seattle, who they replaced with Tyrell Dotson because he was a first-round pick. And he is going to be amazing for them. And it was all Vic Fangio's fault, by the way.
Yes.
Just the greatest architect of defensive scheme in the last decade and a half. It's all his fault that they stunk defensively last year.
He was mean to them, Nate.
He was mean. Sarcastic, I think, was the word that I saw. But trust me.
Hey, that can hurt just as much.
30-year-old Jalen Ramsey is going to be the savior that they need. Maybe they should re-sign him, too. That got me going a little.
Right,
I think
good.
It was the energy drink I just chugged.
All right, well, I will look forward to more of this on the Jets, too, and the entire conference as we make our way through a Tuesday afternoon here on WGR. We'll take a timeout. Matt Beauvais, Channel 7 WKBW Sports Director and co-host of the fabulous It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our own Sal Capaccio, is going to join us on the other side of this break. So do stay with us for that. A show debut, not a station debut, but show debut. Unless Mike has talked to Matt, like, whenever I'm on vacation and I just don't know about it, which is possible. Anyway, Nate is in for Mike, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR. Unless Pittsburgh is already tired of... Do you remember the conversation we had yesterday about this that was brief when I talked to Will Graves a few weeks ago and asked him about Ayuk, and he said Pickens will be a problem. Like, he covers the Steelers. Like, Pickens will be a problem. Maybe the Steelers are just like, I don't need this headache. We're not going to want to pay you the top rate in another year from now. So we would simply trade Pickens for Ayuk, and maybe you see that as a win if you're the Steelers. I don't know. But from a Bills perspective, like, do you have a receiver that you can include in the trade that makes sense? I mean, you really don't. A, you think Khalil Shakir has enough value to make that work for San Francisco? And I'm not sure that he does. And these two thoughts, the second thought I'm about to share, sort of are smashing into each other in my brain, and I need to alleviate the tension because I'm not sure it makes sense that Shakir probably isn't enough, but I'd be reluctant to trade him. Because he's going into his third year on a fifth-round rookie contract, and I think I need that. I need that value for this year and next year more than I need a new $30 million wide receiver. So I think if the Bills had been out of this because of that, I totally understand. Like, I don't think I would want to part with that player on that contract right now, because not that I think he's going to be as good or better than Brandon Ayuk is right now, but I've got 2 years of a player making $1 million that I think has a look at being, you know, a 70 or 80 catch guy for this team. And I don't think I'd want to dump that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of just kind of goes against exactly what we've been talking about, too. You know, like, it just kind of goes against this divest and reinvest smarter. It's kind mm-hmm. of like, hey, we've been investing in this stock for a really long time, and it just took a giant dump, and now we have to re-diversify our money. Are you going to go right back into going into that stock that dumped for you? No, I don't think you are. I think you're going to try to find new ways mm-hmm. to reinvest the money, and I think that's what the Bills are going to do with their cap space next year. And, like, in the same conversation, like I was talking about yesterday, about the Dolphins, how they have like nine guys making double-digit $1 million. The Niners have Debo making 24, Tre'Varius Ward making 12, Nick Bosa making 20, Fred Warner making 29 at linebacker. George Kittle at 22, Trent Williams at 34, Javon Hargrave at 28.
These are cap numbers?
Cap hits.
Yeah.
They're screwed. Oh, and they got to pay their quarterback probably $60 million.
Next year.
Wait, what did Tua just get? 62?
No, he didn't get 62. 52? 52, yeah. We're not to 60 yet.
We're not
even to 55 yet. So, you know,
okay,
but we'll get there.
Well, you know me, I like to throw great
next offseason.
I like to be talked down from numbers, not right, you know. I don't like to go below.
Right. So, all right. So, all the big guys are in on the Aiyuk stuff after a very quiet day yesterday. Big guys, I mean the reporters, and we'll see what ends up, you know, transpiring here during the day today, whether this player ends up being moved to where he wants to go or where the team would rather he go or whatever. But as I said at the outset, it's starting to wear me out. As someone who is in the content creation business here, I don't know how much more Brandon Aiyuk I have left in me, which is tough because it might be the biggest day of the whole time here, the many months that have been sucked up talking about whether this guy's a good idea to trade for. I still think he is, but I'm not sure the Bills are in a position to satisfy it, and you've not heard anything about them being involved, so I'm not here to like bang the drum. They should get in on it. They got to get their miss, you know. It's not happening. I don't think they have the assets to make it happen. So, you know, full speed ahead with your name here at receiver for the Bills, and we'll see what ends up happening with Aiyuk here. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a preference? Pittsburgh, New England, Cleveland? I'm not really worried about any of those three teams right now.
No. I think the North is not as... I mean, I'm not... I know everyone's... The quarterbacks in the AFC are great. But... a lot of them are good and are being paid as great, and the two that are great are not being paid that much.
Right.
So, like,
right,
the pendulum is going to swing. The Dolphins are going to find it. They're talking about, you know, oh, well, they'll just restructure Tua next year. They're going to restructure him on the first year his extension hits?
It's been done.
It has been, but okay.
It's been done. 803-0550.
I didn't even get to talk trash about the Dolphins yesterday.
We are. Well, stay tuned, everyone.
I'm on retainer.
Okay.
To do that. So.
No, let's get into the AFC East right after this. We'll talk about the Dolphins and the Jets and the division. Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 coming your way at 4 o'clock here. Nate is in for Mike, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR. The man asked for an opportunity to wail on the Dolphins. Far be it from me to get in the way. They're gonna be better than the Jets, right? I've got to bet with Mike who's gonna win more games this year, Dolphins or Jets, and I'm on the Dolphins there because I think the Jets are gonna implode. Because they're the Jets, largely, which, you know, I know it's not really sound logic, but you know, it's there.
Don't
like either of them?
Either team.
See, I think Miami still has. They've got their pitch. They have their offense intact. You know, Tua's got the big money that it really doesn't matter for like playing on the field. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got Waddle. They've got their speedy running back in Achan. Like, I think they'll be good enough to win 10 games or 11 games like they did last year. You know, against the lousier teams on their schedule. And then run out of gas when they have to play anybody that's any good.
Front runners or the team that is just terribly coached? Take your pick.
Terribly coached.
Yeah. Robert Saleh stinks.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Mike McDaniel.
Oh, no. I like McDaniels. Robert Saleh stinks. I was talking about the Dolphins here. Nathaniel Hackett stinks. They stink.
I'm 100% with you on the Jets. I was teeing you up for the Dolphins here.
Oh, well, I could talk trash about both. I'm good with either. The Dolphins are top-heavy, don't have depth, are relying on two guys coming off catastrophic injuries to come back to form. Took Bradley Chubb 2 years to come back from his last one when he was younger. Chop Robinson looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Eikenberg go Irish, stinks, and he's going to be their starting center right now, or guard, or whatever. I mean, there was just a picture of him laying on the ground during uppers. Like, they weren't even going full, and he was on the ground during practice against Atlanta. Their offensive line might be the worst in football. A year removed from their quarterback having two catastrophic head injuries. But he did jiu-jitsu, so he's fine, I guess, now. He knows how to fall. He learned how to fall.
He did make it
He better have learned how to fall, because he's going to do a bunch of that this year.
He did make it through a season.
He did.
Got to give him that.
And they've got really great, fast running backs that will likely need some level of run blocking to be successful. What else? They brought in Jordan Brooks. I think that's his name, the linebacker from Seattle, who they replaced with Tyrell Dotson because he was a first-round pick. And he is going to be amazing for them. And it was all Vic Fangio's fault, by the way.
Yes.
Just the greatest architect of defensive scheme in the last decade and a half. It's all his fault that they stunk defensively last year.
He was mean to them, Nate.
He was mean. Sarcastic, I think, was the word that I saw. But trust me.
Hey, that can hurt just as much.
30-year-old Jalen Ramsey is going to be the savior that they need. Maybe they should re-sign him, too. That got me going a little.
Right,
I think it was the energy drink I just chugged.
All right, well, I will look forward to more of this on the Jets, too, and the entire conference as we make our way through a Tuesday afternoon here on WGR. We'll take a timeout. Matt Beauvais, Channel 7 WKBW Sports Director and co-host of the fabulous It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our own Sal Capaccio, is going to join us on the other side of this break. So do stay with us for that. A show debut, not a station debut, but show debut. Unless Mike has talked to Matt, like, whenever I'm on vacation and I just don't know about it, which is possible. Anyway, Nate is in for Mike, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.